for the kind introduction. Okay, a very good morning to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. I didn't expect to come back so early. I received a phone call from your sister Lily, I think. Yeah, she told me, will I be free this Sunday to give a Dhamma talk? Because I think Brother Xiang Chai was not free. So I told her it should be okay. Luckily it's this week, because next few weeks I won't be free. So anyway, I'm here this morning, and today's topic is, I think, something very relevant. As fellow Buddhist devotees, we should understand this. The title of the talk is Benefits of Cultivating the Buddha Dharma. I'm sure by now most of us understand what is this word, Buddha Dharma. How many of you don't understand this word? The Buddha Dharma. Everybody understand? Good. So it saved me a lot of time. Anyway, the Dhamma, as you all know, is the teachings of the Buddhas. Dhamma is basically actually truth. The Buddha actually taught us the Buddha Dharma, which is the truth that he has realized after his enlightenment. He is a fully enlightened one, not only enlightened, but perfect in enlightenment. So you can say the Buddha, at the time when he arrived, when he became enlightened, he was the most wise and the most virtuous living being ever to be born in this entire universe, not only our world, our planet. So that is a very unique part of him. So because of that, this Buddha Dharma that he has come to realize is so wonderful, so important. The reason why we need to cultivate this Buddha Dharma is because it can make such a great transformation and change to us as living beings. The Buddha himself is no different from us. He started like us, as a normal human being and a living being. Then over the years, aeons and aeons of cultivation and perfection, he came to realize this beautiful Dharma, which finally make him fully enlightened. And because of that, he realized the secret of life. He know how to live life. That's why there are so much benefit. Actually, it's countless. The benefits that you can gain from cultivating his teaching is so beautiful. Just now when we start, we heard the first or second hymn, I forgot already. The hymn was so beautiful and so meaningful. You remember the hymn? Joy, peace, and love. It's not an easy hymn, but it's very meaningful. So these are the things that will come with the cultivation of the Buddha Dharma. Like the Buddha said, when you understand his Dhamma, the understanding and the wisdom that unfold within your heart can give rise to this great joy. He called it the joy born of understanding, not the excitable one that the living being or the human being used to experience. Like you pass your exam when things go your way, or you strike a lottery. There's a lot of happiness and joy. But that one is more towards the gratification of mind, that joy come through fulfilling something. But this type of joy that the Buddha talked about is the joy born of wisdom, born of understanding life, born of true, what they call wisdom, that enable your mind to be so different, so free. Like you understand totally the secret of life. You know how to live life. And life becomes so meaningful, so beautiful. So much joy, no more suffering, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more sadness, no more depression. Whatever that afflicts the living being or make them unhappy and miserable cease to be. Now, such is the joy that the enlightened one will have. That's why the Buddha Dharma is very powerful. You have the understanding, the real cultivation that lead to the awakening, this is a possibility. That type of joy, yeah, I don't have the hymn book, you read through. It's quite well defined there, how it fills your heart. How that joy can actually bring about the condition for you to walk the path of Dhamma, to cultivate. Then you want to actually help the living being. That's why you can be a blessing to all of humanity, all of society and the world, even to the environment and all living beings. Then the second part is the peace. The peace within is so different. This type of peace is not the one that is born of just a happy mind, a peaceful mind. This type of peace comes through a type of understanding. Again, is wisdom. And the cultivation of this, what they call love, compassion, and wisdom. Because basically, the teachings of the Buddha, you can summarize very simply. I have written on the board. I think Suyan has so kindly put it up there so you can see. Joy, peace, and love will be the result. The teachings of the Buddha is none other than love, compassion, and wisdom. Because what he has taught the world is to have this understanding of what love is, universal love or metta. Then you have this understanding of what true compassion is, born of the Bodhisattva who cultivate the Buddha's way to become the fully enlightened one. Then, of course, the ultimate culmination of his teaching is to develop the wisdom that he actually has been sharing with the world. With this wisdom, your life transforms. You can understand life so clearly. Life becomes so beautiful, so meaningful. And this is the wisdom that frees your mind from all suffering. No more fear, no more worry, no more misery, no more unhappiness. No more sorrow and lamentation, no more grief. No more of this state of like wanting to die, commit suicide or depressive thought. You are free from all this. So this is the most important message that the Buddha actually wanted to share with us. Then the famous verse, Dhammapada verse 183. We also have a hymn that talk about this just now. And this hymn was very beautiful. He said, all Buddha teach the same. Their teaching is very simple. He said, there are only three things you need to do. And if you do these three things, love, compassion, and wisdom will arise. The first one is, he said, all evil or negativity that can bring about suffering to you and others, to fellow beings, the environment, society, and the planet, you have to avoid them all. All evil is to be avoided. If you can do this, you will have love. Understand? You will have love. You will have compassion. Then after that, whatever wholesomeness, goodness, you should cultivate, he said. This will bring about a very, very virtuous mind. You are full of goodness, full of virtue, full of kindness, and full of wholesomeness. And this is the part that brings forth a lot of compassion in you. Compassion born out of wisdom and understanding. Then finally, when you purify your mind, this is the outcome, wisdom. Clarity of mind, the peace of mind. So we come back to the first three. I have explained what joy is, then the peace. So this peace comes about through a mind that has developed the ability to meditate, to train itself. And that peace is so different. The Buddha talked about a deep peace within, unshakable peace, unwavering. You are in a state of equanimity. No matter what happened to the world, what people say and what people do, you are still peaceful. You are still happy. There is still joy. There is still understanding and wisdom within. And this peace within is something that living beings cannot find. Very difficult for living beings to have. So because the mind when it's trained is so different, there is clarity, there is awareness inside without thought, there is this calmness that bring forth the peace. And this type of peace is unshakable, no matter where you are, anywhere, any place, any time, under any circumstances, even whatever happened to this body of yours, confronting death or whatever, or even nature's disaster or what, life-threatening type of disease, no problem. That peace is still within, very, very stable, unshakable. So this is the peace that we talk about, and it's so beautiful, so meaningful. Then, of course, the last part is love. When you truly cultivate the Buddha Dharma, after you have developed all the love, compassion, and the wisdom, you naturally understand what love is. This is a universal type of love, metta, they call it, unconditioned love. This type of love is not conditioned upon something. Human beings' love are normally conditioned love. If it's our children, if it's our loved ones, we can sacrifice and love them for what they are. We can go all out and do all those things. But if they are not our children, not our loved one, doesn't have any relationship with us, living beings find it very difficult to love. Understand? Not? Especially when you are confronted with people whom you don't like. Difficult people. Or not so friendly type of people. So the love that the Buddha talked about is something so different. It's an unconditional love. No matter who you are, what you are, that love comes from the understanding of this great nature's law. All of the spiritual law that governs all of life and existence. That's why it's very unique, it's very beautiful, and it's sort of money cannot buy. And yet, out of love and compassion, the Buddha has given to us free. And because it's given to us free, humanity actually overlook most of human beings. They take it for granted. They never cherish what the Buddha has given them. They do not understand the beauty of his Buddha Dharma, the teaching that he has shared with us. That's why you come across what they call the very commonly spoken English phrase. There is no such thing as a free lunch. You heard of this before? This is the only exception. Not only given free, it is something priceless. When you understand how beautiful and how meaningful this Buddha Dharma, his teaching is, I tell you, you will have a lot of gratitude and respect for him. And you will cherish what he has given you so deeply that you will walk this path of Dhamma. Then we come back to what you all have chanted just now. It's very beautiful. You're this Buddha Puja, or what they call a collection of Buddhist contemplation and devotional verses of practice. It's very beautiful. Actually, to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, I have explained what the Buddha Dharma is. Now I will explain to you how you can cultivate this Buddha Dharma so that you can reap these benefits. And here, your devotional practice, contemplative verses, they are so beautiful. It actually spells out quite a lot of what the Buddha wants you to understand. I read to you, page 9. Okay, your leader said, let us remain seated before the Buddha image in meditation posture, with our mind now filled with metta. Metta is loving kindness, universal love, unconditioned love. Let us have a few moments of silent contemplation. Page 9, you can turn to the what they call devotional book in front of you. Then I read, in this life, and in our future life, you commit yourself. May we continue to take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and follow the Noble Eightfold Path that will eventually lead us to the final liberation from samsara. So liberation from samsara means you become enlightened, free from birth and death, no more suffering, no more becoming. You don't have to face the world anymore. You don't have to go through all the reality of life and existence that can bring about suffering and misery to your human life anymore. So this is the path where eventually it will lead you to enlightenment and liberation. So cultivating the Buddha Dharma is you start by understanding the importance of the Triple Gem, the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha. That's why here he said, in this life and in our future life, may we continue to take refuge in the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha. And this is the Triple Gem. And you know what is the Triple Gem? Huh? The Buddha, you know, the fully enlightened one. Perfect in wisdom, perfect in virtue. Then the Dhamma is his teaching. That's why we talk about the benefits of cultivating this Buddha Dharma, which is teaching. Then the Sangha is the Aryan disciple or the enlightened disciple of the Buddhas. And because they are enlightened, they also have the teaching, the Dhamma. And because the Buddha himself is a fully enlightened one, he also has the teaching. So under Dhammapada verse that the Buddha spoke, he said, there is no other refuge save except the Triple Gem. And the reason is because it's only in the Triple Gem you can find his teaching, the Buddha Dharma. That's why we have to cultivate this one. And the essence of his teaching is the Noble Eightfold Path. Actually, it's the Four Noble Truths. Within the Four Noble Truths, the Fourth Noble Truth is the Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you also commit yourself to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, because the Buddha said, under the Fourth Noble Truth, if you were to cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the enlightenment, it will lead to the cessation of all suffering. So taking refuge in this Triple Gem is very important. So we come back to the word gem, Triple Gem. What is the meaning? Why did the Buddha call it the gem? You know what a precious stone is? Huh? Precious stone, you know? Very expensive, very precious. The precious of all the precious stone is called the gemstone. Now you understand why he called it the gem. So it's the most precious among all the precious stones. That's why it's called the gemstone. So these are the three things that you have to take refuge in. You have to develop the devotion. You commit your mind. That's why you chant, Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, to the Buddha, I go for my refuge. Then you repeat, Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi, for the second time, I go to the Buddha for my refuge. Then again you repeat Tatiyampi for the third time. The reason why we need to take refuge is not to say you believe. No. It's to commit your mind so that when you take this refuge sincerely from your heart, means you have this understanding that you are here to sincerely commit your mind, your life, to have affinity with the Triple Gem. So that wherever you are born, whenever you are born, any civilization, any world system where there is this Triple Gem, you will connect. You will connect. You will come to connect. And because you have the condition to connect, there is a possibility of you developing this cultivation, this understanding. Then all these benefits can come about. That's why you commit yourself to this. And this is something a lot of Buddhists may not even yet to develop the understanding. That's why a lot of them, I realize, they just chant, like parroting. You have to know the deep meaning, the significance of taking refuge. Then when the meaning is very deep, when you do with a lot of faith and sincerity, the understanding will come. The mind will be different. It will transform. So basically, The Buddhist devotional practice that you do when you come here is the Buddha's way of teaching you how to cultivate this Buddha Dharma. First, he said, we come, we pay homage. Then we take refuge. Homage means what? We recite homage to you, the blessed one, the worthy one, and the fully enlightened. That's why we chant, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Means, when we do this homage, we pay respect mindfully, we will calm our mind down, we will develop the faith and the confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Through understanding clearly how special the Buddha is, because he's a fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom, perfect in virtue. And his teaching, the Buddha Dharma, is so wonderful, so meaningful, so special. It can bring about great benefits and transformation to us as human beings. It can free us from all suffering, all fear, all worry, all anxiety, all unhappiness. You can become what they call a very wise, virtuous, and happy human being. You will have a lot of joy in your life. Your life will be full of peace, goodness, wholesomeness, virtue, and wisdom. And all these are the inheritance that you will have. And these are the things that will support your life and bring about the noble life, the good life, the happy life. So this is the part you need to actually understand. So after we pay respect and homage, we develop this composed and calm mind that leads to the confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. This is the first spiritual faculty of the mind, saddha, confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then from saddha, you will move on. Because after knowing how wonderful this teaching is, how beautiful the Buddha is, you will start to have this very strong determination, the spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way. He called it virya. Virya, a type of energy, spiritual tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate his Buddha Dharma. So when saddha and virya is there, you will know how to develop the meditation. You will know how to train the mind. Because the Buddha teaches to develop mindfulness, sati, or awareness. So when you pay respect mindfully, means your body and mind, you pay that respect to a composed and calm mind. Then there is no thought. The body and mind move as one. That is sati. That is mindfulness. The mind anchor to the movement of the kaya without thought. That is the first foundation of mindfulness. They call it kaya nupassana. So sati, born of anchoring your mind to your posture, to your breathing, to whatever action and movement you do through your daily mindfulness. That is the beginning of cultivation of the silent mind, or sati, or mindfulness. So when you are able to do this devotional practice very well, through a lot of faith and understanding, saddha and virya will bring forth the third spiritual faculty of sati, mindfulness. Then if you were to develop the meditation to train your mind, this sati or mindfulness will stabilize until it becomes what they call samadhi. Samadhi is a very calm state, a state of mind that is born of this, what they call stability of mindfulness, that reach a state of unwavering mind. The mind is collected, unwavering. Means at the moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, or tactilely feel something, or think of something, you got no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Your mind is unshakable, unwavering. You are not in the reactive mode. You cannot be afflicted, you cannot be affected. And that is the beauty of samadhi. So when you have this fourth spiritual faculty of samadhi, you will have more and more moment of peace, more and more moment of clarity of mind. Sati and samadhi will allow you to see things as they are, because the mind is not moving at all. The mind is very peaceful, unwavering, and collected. And it can have this ability to see things as they are. And through this ability to see things as they are, you will awaken to the truth, the reality. That's why the fifth spiritual faculty or mental faculty is wisdom. And wisdom is a very important aspect of the mind. So you have the five spiritual faculty all cultivated through devotional practice and meditation. So you have Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. These five I have spoken at my last month talk. For those who have attended, you will understand. Because I talk about the mind. The Buddha explained very clearly to the human being. He said, why are you not peaceful? Why are you not happy? Why can't you develop a mind that is peaceful and happy, calm? The Buddha said, because the human being, they have a lot of what they call mental hindrances. So the last talk I gave was, I talked about the five mental hindrances as opposed to the five spiritual faculty. The spiritual faculty is the wholesome part of mind state that you need to cultivate to overcome the five hindrances of mind. So the Buddha said, because we have this hindrance of mind, that's the reason why you are not peaceful. And the five hindrances are very simple. The first two, throughout the day you experience them, the Buddha said. When you are experiencing a sense experience, means when you see something, hear something, think of something, or smell, taste, tactile, feel something. At the moment of sense experience, the Buddha said, you tend to react to what you see, what you hear, or what you think. So this reaction of mind will trigger off the duality. The Buddha called it sensual desire and ill will. If you like or have craving for that sense experience, then your mind is drawn away, attracted to it. That's why it's preoccupied with that sense experience. Let's say you hear something very, very nice, very interesting, a nice music or what. If you don't know how to listen, then this sensual desire, the desire or the senses for this music to be sustained and repeated will draw your mind away. Then you will gratify through your mind. You will not be able to experience them through your clarity of awareness because you have not trained your mind. There is no sati. So you only actually drawn to it through your sense, what they call preoccupation. So this sensual desire will draw you away. The moment you are being drawn, your mind is no longer in the state of clarity and peace to understand what is going on. So there is no more the meditative state of awareness to see things as they are. Means this mind is lost in thought, heedless, preoccupied with the thinking, with the sense experience, then with the craving, the attachment, and the reaction. So likewise, if it's something negative that you don't like, the Buddha said the second hindrance will arise, ill will, unhappiness, emotional negativity, or fear, worry, anxiety. All these can arise. So he said sensual desire and ill will, throughout the day you experience them. That's why this hindrance prevent you from becoming peaceful. And because you think a lot, that's why your mind cannot be in the meditative state of inner awareness to be peaceful. That's why peace is very difficult to come by for most people. Then the third one is, when you do not understand the importance of this Buddha Dharma or the importance of training of your mind, you will never develop sati or mindfulness. You will never develop the spiritual faculty. Then you will heedlessly live your life. Then when you try to come and train, develop this, but because you don't have the understanding, the first few times, most people will experience that. You feel very sleepy. The Buddha called it sloth and torpor. Sleepiness, dullness of mind. Because you fail to understand the importance of this teaching, this training. So, like you attend a class, if you don't like that subject, what happens? You feel very sleepy. You cannot concentrate. You doesn't like what the lecture is all about. So, at the back, you may doze off, or you feel very, very sleepy. Your mind just doesn't want to be attentive. But if it's something that you like, that subject, that topic, you will be very alert, very attentive. That is what the Buddha mean by this clarity of mind. The mind that has this, what they call attentiveness or awareness. To listen, to understand. Yeah. So the third hindrance is sloth and torpor. And it actually can be very potent if you are not careful. The fourth one is very common to most people. He called it the restless mind. A mind that is not peaceful because it has a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. And this come about because human being, you do not know how to live life. You do not understand the secret of life, the law that governs all of life and existence. So because of that, he said, the Buddha said, you do not believe in the five precepts. The five precepts are very important. Because you fail to understand the meaning of these five precepts, the Buddha said, you become heedless. Yeah. And when you become heedless, you violate all these five precepts. Yeah. The moment you violate these five precepts, the Buddha said, you are an evil person. You commit evil. That's why the lack of peace come about. You heard of the five precepts, huh? You chant just now, huh? Panatipata viramani sikha padang samadhiyami. The first precept is, we undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. So you ask yourself, what type of people kill, cause harm? Yeah? What type of people? Violent, evil people, isn't it? Angry people, isn't it? Selfish people, isn't it? Deluded people, isn't it? Otherwise you won't do this. So because of that, the Buddha said, you commit evil. You have evil. So when there is evil, you will have a lot of fear, worry, and anxiety. Because you're scared people come to know. The law come and catch up with what you have done. Then the moment this thing brings about a mental fear, worry, and anxiety, you are no longer at peace. Your mind becomes restless. That's why you worry a lot. You have a lot of fear. You have a lot of anxiety. You are never at peace. That's why people who do a lot of evil, like you cheat on your spouse, you lie, you deceive and misappropriate things, when you take intoxicants and drugs, when it conditions your mental state to be very low, all this is violating the precepts, committing evil. And because of that, your mind has this restlessness, very strong. That's why a person who didn't keep the precept, very difficult to meditate. That's why the Buddha said, the prerequisite is, you must have three things to develop this meditation. He talked about dana, sila, and bhavana. Dana is generosity. Sila is your precept. Now, when you have generosity and precept, then you can develop the meditation. Bhavana is meditation. So the whole thing actually is a flow. It's a flow. Yeah. Then the last hindrance of mind is, he said, doubt. When you are not sure what the teaching is, the meditation is, how to train your mind, how to develop this thing, that doubt prevents you from understanding. That's why you must overcome this doubt with the confidence, sadha. Yeah. So these five hindrances of mind that hinders you from becoming peaceful and developing the understanding of the Buddha Dharma, you can reverse all this through your cultivation of the five spiritual faculties, which is what you will develop when you cultivate the Buddha Dharma. The initial cultivation are very simple. What you do when you come to the temple on Sunday or your Dharma activity, actually the devotional practice is the beginning. You already start to cultivate the faith, the confidence in the Buddha and his teaching. Then the mindfulness. Sadha virya sati will be there. Then when you perfect your meditative training of the mind, samadhi and wisdom will follow. And once you have your five spiritual faculties, your hindrance of mind cease to be. That's why it's very easy to cultivate this Buddha Dharma. Then when you have this five spiritual faculties, your mind is so different. Your mind has this clarity, born of sati and samadhi, mindfulness and samadhi. And because there is this clarity, it can understand things very fast. Then you can make better decision in life. It can help you in many ways. That's why the benefits are tremendous. When you have the wisdom and the understanding and the clarity of mind, it can help you in so many ways. In your study, in your ability to recover from your sickness, your disease, and all those things. Because a mind that has the spiritual faculty is so calm, so peaceful, so full of joy and understanding. That's why you have joy, you have peace, you have love, and you have compassion and wisdom. Such a mind is so different from a mind that has problem. They call it the problems of life. Eh? You heard of this problem of life? The Buddha talked about it under the First Noble Truth. He talked about the Noble Truth of dukkha or suffering, the First Noble Truth. Actually, this one, if you want to understand, in modern language, we call it the problems of life. When we live life, the Buddha said, there are certain realities of life and existence that you need to confront, you need to go through. No matter how successful are you, materialistic-wise, he said, you can be very wealthy, very famous, very sort of academically excel. But you still have a problem, he said. You can be financially very well off. Maybe you can have the society's type of status because you have done a lot of materialistic, what they call social work and all those things that make you very famous. Then all the title that come with it, like your Dato Tan Sri and even your PhD or whatever, you can have all this academic excellence and all the various titles. But yet, you are still a mundane human being. So the Buddha said, as long as you have this form and mind, mundane human being, you will go through this reality of life and existence. He said, there are 8 realities that can bring about a lot of misery and suffering if you have not developed the understanding of his teaching, this Buddha Dharma, before you confront them. The first 4, I think you have heard before. It's very easy to understand. Most Chinese heard this before. They say birth, old age, sickness, and death. You have to confront them. As long as you live long enough, you will witness them. The tragedy, the misery, the suffering that comes along with these 4 conditions of existence. Wherever there is birth, there is death. Wherever there is birth, there is this decay or getting old, the aging process. As a human being gets aged, a lot of problem comes with it. Your senses start to fail you. Your health start to fail you. You start to develop a lot of those, what they call sickness and disease that can be very frightening, very traumatic. Then, of course, the next one is when it actually hit you. Nowadays, there are so many of this, what they call traumatic type of disease. Cancer is so common nowadays, not like before. Then you have a lot of other very dreadful type of disease too. Some of these diseases are very new. So when you are confronted with this life-threatening type of sickness and disease, it is a reality that you must approach and confront. So if you don't have the wisdom, the Buddha said, chances is you will develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, and the sadness, especially when it happened to your loved ones. Not so much when it happened to you. It of course affects, but more severely if it's your loved ones. Somebody you love so much, so dearly. Then of course death is very traumatic. Then he said there is this possibility of separation in relationship. Like if you have certain relationship with your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, then if things don't work out, relationship failure leading to divorce or whatever can be very traumatic. This is the 5th one, he said. Then after that, when you are with people whom you don't like, when you are not able to get what you want, the number seven is very, very powerful. The Buddha said, when things don't go your way, you become miserable. You become afflicted. Because human beings got a lot of expectation. When your expectations are not met, you tend to have a lot of suffering, a lot of misery. Then the final summary, of course, he talked about the meditative one. He said, in short, it is due to our human delusion that doesn't understand what this form and mind or human being is all about. We attach and grasp at this form and mind, he said, the five aggregates. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. The moment you grasp with delusion, he said, suffering will arise. And this is the final summary. So in terms of modern language, so that you can understand it better. This first noble truth, the reality of life and existence, the Buddha actually explained to you all the common problems of life. Even you are very wealthy, very famous, you still have to confront them, he said. The first one is health problem. You talk about health problem, you understand, disease. Then relationship problem, your relationship with your loved ones, your in-law, your neighbor, your good friend, your brothers and sisters, when it doesn't turn out the way you want it to be. So it can be very, very, very traumatic. So the other one is career problem. When you go into the work environment, you realize the amount of pressure, the amount of stress, the amount of fear that you have to be subject to, and the amount of what they call striving. Sometimes you lost your health because of job, because of salary, because of career. Then there are so much of this politics in the office, like national politics. Some are even worse. A lot of backstabbing and all those things. So all this bring about a lot of suffering to the living being. A lot of fear, worry, anxiety, and misery. So very difficult for the living being to have this understanding to overcome all of this problem. The other one is, of course, financial problem. Financial problem is very real too. Then when certain things don't go your way, like during a crisis, it can be a financial crisis, economic crisis, or it can be a nature's disaster like tsunami and all those things, or building collapse, earthquake and all those things. All this can bring about tremendous misery and suffering to the world. So this is the part. If you do not have the Buddha Dharma, the wisdom, and you are not prepared, you cannot confront this reality. The Buddha said, living being will suffer. That's why there is this noble truth of dukkha or suffering that he talks about. So this dukkha is very real. Very, very real. So do not be heedless. Make haste in cultivating the Buddha Dharma so that you can develop the understanding of his teaching, so that you can confront all this reality and free your mind so that you don't have to suffer anymore. You don't have to worry about life anymore, so that there is no more misery, no more unhappiness, no more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more sadness, no more sorrow and lamentation, especially those who confront depression. Actually, depression is very common nowadays because there are certain things that they cannot come to terms with. They think and think and think until they are trapped in the cocoon of thought. Then they develop this very suicidal type of thought, very depressive state of mind. They just want to die. I heard a lot of these people tell me. He said that suicide thought was so frequent, they just want to kill themselves. They just want to end everything. But as I said, the Buddha also said, by killing yourself is foolishness, is delusion. It doesn't solve your problem. This problem will recur because there is such thing as the law of karma. This is the right view that the Buddha talked about. The most powerful spiritual law that governs all of life and existence. So the Buddha said, because of this law of karma, you know the law of karma, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Each and every one of us, the Buddha said, we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So because of that, the Buddha said, you have to train your mind. Be heedful so that you can train your mind to take care of your karma so that you can have the good life, the happy life, the life that is full of meaning, joy, peace, and love, compassion and wisdom, the happy life, the noble life. This is the life that is very beautiful but very difficult for living beings to have. Unless they have the Buddha Dharma, they cultivate this teaching of the Buddha, develop the wisdom, then they will be able to do it. If you look at this law, law of karma, the first right view, samadhi, that you must develop, the Buddha said, through the understanding of this nature's law, because karma is so powerful, we are born of it, heir to it, conditioned and supported by it, and each and every moment of our life, we cannot blame anybody. You are just the way you are because of your karma. So because of your past deed, it brings about the condition for things to unfold. Last time you cheat, deceive, kill, you reap what you sow. This life you come back, if there is condition, you become the victim. That's why do not blame people for your misery, for your suffering. So all this is part and parcel of this law. That's why from the understanding of this law, the Buddha came out with his three very important advice. In order to take care of your life, he said you must take care of karma. Yeah? How do you take care of karma? You have to avoid all evil there. Correct? Right? If you don't avoid evil, negative karma will come and haunt you there. So how do we avoid evil? All evil is to be avoided. That's why the Buddha recommends the five precepts. You must keep to the five precepts. You must not kill, you must not steal, you must not deceive, you must not commit sexual misconduct, you must not lie and do all those selfish or negative things. Then you must not partake drug and intoxicant, that will make your consciousness very low. So this part, born of right view with regards to the law of karma, you will know how to keep the five precepts. Through that, you will develop the wholesome karma. You will prevent your karmic nature from developing all the negativity of karma to condition your suffering, following Dhammapada verse 1. Yeah. Then, do good is virtue, wholesomeness. I will read on afterwards what you're supposed to understand. It talks about this part, how to cultivate wholesomeness, goodness, how to develop all the virtue, through the training of mind to be heedful, to see your mental intention clearly, so that there is no karmic negativity, no evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion in all of your action, speech, and thought process, and the way you live your life. And all this is covered under the Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. So this part, do good, is very important. These are the ennoblers of the precept. You not only don't kill. The ennobler is what? You become loving, compassionate. Then when it comes to stealing, partake people's thing, the ennobler is generosity. You start to give because you reap what you sow. What you give come back to you. That's why when you have this right view, you will know how to do the right thing. You will know how to actually help the world, because through doing that, through that kindness, that goodness, the wholesomeness, the pleasantness, you actually are creating your own good karmic condition to receive them all. When you are good to people, people will be good to you. When you are kind to people, people will be kind to you. Yeah. So this is the universal eternal law, eternal truth. You can put it to test. You can confirm and investigate into it and find out yourself. The last part is purification of mind. This is meditation. This one is not so easy. Yeah? But if you really have the condition, you should go into this. Yeah? This is bhavana. Bhavana, or what they call meditation. And this is the one you should go into. So now I will come back to your, this what they call page 9. You turn to page 9. We will continue from there. In this life and your future life, may we continue to take refuge in the Buddha Dharma and the Sangha and follow the Noble Eightfold Path. This part I have already explained. Except the Noble Eightfold Path, I don't think I have the time. I won't go into detail. I will just brief you on what the path factors are. The first of the Noble Eightfold Path is right view. That's why you must have right view with regards to the spiritual law that governs all of our life and existence. The first one, the most important one, is the law of karma. Then Brother Suyan has so kindly, actually earlier on, put the notes up there. The right view with regards to the law of karma. You reap what you sow and all those things. So after you have this right view, you will know how to condition how you speak, act, and think. That's why right view is followed by right thought, the second path factor. Right thought is followed by right speech and right action. Then after that, right livelihood. Then right effort. Right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought, the wrong speech, and the wrong action. Then right effort to promote the right thought, right speech, and right action. Then you have the other two more right thought. The other right thought is when the unwholesome thought has arisen, you must arise the right effort to abandon them. The unwholesome speech and action too. You must arise the right effort to abandon them. Then after that, of course, the last right effort is to develop the refinement upon whatever right thought, right speech, and right action that you have cultivated. You should refine upon it and develop it further until it becomes something very stable and it becomes something that is a part of you. In the text, some of the text, they just put maintain whatever goodness that you have. But whatever it is, I think the more appropriate understanding should be to refine upon whatever goodness that you have. That right effort is more important. Then after right effort is the other two. You have right mindfulness, which is the meditative training. Under right mindfulness, samasati, you have the four foundations of mindfulness. This is all meditation. Just now I spoke about one, kaya nupassana, which is mindfulness of this kaya. Then you have the vedana nupassana, mindfulness of the feeling. Then you have citta nupassana, mindfulness of consciousness, citta. Then the last one is mindfulness of the dhamma, the teachings of the Buddha. When you have that cultivated, enlightenment in the here and the now will arise. So this part is very clear. So once you follow the Noble Eightfold Path, develop the understanding, it will eventually lead you to the final liberation or enlightenment from samsara. It will free you from samsara. You know what is samsara, Your life cycle of birth and death, your unending rebirth. That is samsara. The existential world of birth and death. Then along the way, may we be blessed with what? This is what you want. These are the benefits I will read to you. You will like this. Along the way, after you have cultivated the Buddha Dharma, may we be blessed with good health, happiness, success in life, with good families, relatives, and friends, until your attainment of Nibbana, which is the enlightenment. They actually can add in the word joy and peace. It's not there. May we all to be well and happy always. So this is what you can aspire for. Because after you have cultivated this Buddha Dharma, your karmic inheritance is so rich, so powerful. You will have so much of these merits that can support your good life, your happy life, your wholesome life. It can bring about all this good health and good happiness. If you keep your precept of killing, your health will be very good. If you keep your precept, you will have the good and happy life. You can be reborn in the Deva plane. you can have a lot of what they call happy moments of very good life. Then the other thing is, you also invoke the power of the Triple Gem to help you. May the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha bless and protect you. See? So that you can be free from all danger, calamity, and all those things. If you have faith in the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, this thing can happen. Then may we realize the truth in all its aspects and the path in all its stages. This is for your meditation. Then may we attain the peace, the supreme bliss of Nibbana. Then after that, your dedication is also very important. This is the cultivation part, how you cultivate the Buddha Dharma. Your leader say, brothers and sisters in the Dharma, let us dedicate ourselves to the Triple Gem. We dedicate ourselves to the Triple Gem, to the Buddha, the fully enlightened one, to the Dharma, the teaching which we follow, means the teachings of the Buddha. Then to the Aryan Sangha, the blessed ones, enlightened disciple. Then may no ideal words be spoken by us. See, this is right speech. May no unwholesome thought disturb our mind. This is right thought. Just to add one part, you know what are right thought and wrong thought. Right thought are thought that brings about love, joy, harmony, peace, happiness, and goodness, kindness, pleasantness, all this. Whereas wrong thought are very dangerous. You can only know what is wrong thought after you experience the result. You listen. Wrong thought are thought that bring about your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your unhappiness, your sorrow, your lamentation, your selfishness, your anger, your envy, your jealousy, your emotional negativity. All these are your wrong thoughts. So when you have experienced this state of unhappy mind, miserable mind, suffering mind, fear, worry, anxiety, these are all wrong thoughts. You must abandon them. You must arise the right effort to actually abandon them. Otherwise, you will become miserable. You will suffer. Then you undertake and dedicate yourself to the observance of the five precepts. You see, we dedicate ourselves. The five precepts are very important. It is out of love and compassion the Buddha advised you to keep, so that it will protect you, so that your karma is protected, so that you can avoid all evil. This is the first advice of the Buddha. Without the precept, you cannot avoid evil. So this is out of love and compassion for the human being, living being. Then to cultivate the meditation, we dedicate ourselves. That's why you must train your mind, develop the heedfulness, develop the mindfulness, develop the spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, and samadhi. Then finally, wisdom, panya. Then to the development of wisdom, we dedicate ourselves. To the attainment of enlightenment or nibbana, we dedicate ourselves. Then for the happiness of all beings, for the benefits of all beings, with restraint in body, speech, and mind. These are the Noble Eightfold Path factor. We dedicate ourselves. So the Noble Eightfold Path, just now I stopped at the seven, Samasati. I didn't finish the last one. The last one is Samadhi. Samadhi is the state of unwavering mind, collected mind, a mind that is so calm and so peaceful, in a state of complete relaxed inner awareness, the stability of mind that has this samadhi. Samadhi that is born of wisdom is the highest. It is called upekha. Upekha is equanimity of mind, the mind that is unshakable, unwavering, not affected by any state, anything that happened, not affected by what people say and what people do and what happened to the world. That is the beautiful state. And this is the one that will guarantee your peace, your happiness, and your joy under whatever circumstances that happen within your life or within this universe of ours. Okay, with this, I think I will end today's talk. So I wish you all the best. You can have the understanding, commit yourself to cultivate the Buddha Dharma. You will reap all this benefit that we are sharing today. Sadhu to you. Sadhu.
This morning's Dhamma talk by Brother Teo is very interesting and clear. Maybe I think we missed one section on question and answer. Maybe we open the floor for any questions.
Yeah, if you got any question, you can ask. Anything that you want to clarify or understand, no problem. Anybody got any question? Is it clear now? Yeah? Can you understand? If you cannot understand, you better let me know.
I think your talk is very clear and very deep, so I think they are still trying to digest.
Yes, but you don't worry. Yeah? It's recorded, if I'm not wrong. So you wait for Sui-an to put it into the blog. Then you can listen to it again. Every time you listen, a different level of understanding will arise. And this is the part that a lot of Buddhists, I think, this is what you need to understand why you come to the temple, why you need to cultivate the Buddha Dharma, and what are the benefits that actually can benefit not only you, it also benefits others. Because the moment you keep your precepts, you know what happened or not? You don't harm people, you don't commit evil. Means what? You protect yourself and you protect others. Understand? Your loved one, your environment, humanity, society. So these are the what they call very beautiful aspect of the Buddha Dharma. Then when you become awakened, enlightened, you become a blessing to all. Not only you yourself free, your loved one benefits so much. When you have the Buddha Dhamma, I tell you, you go home, your loved one is so happy, full of joy, because you are such an understanding person. You have so much understanding, wisdom, so much goodness, virtue, kindness. You got no more evil. You are so understanding that you can listen to your loved one. You can actually counsel them, talk to them, make them feel very good, make them feel like loved, protected. And there is so much joy that comes with this type of understanding. The whole family unit is so different. And your aura, your vibration, your nature actually transform your whole environment within your home, your neighborhood, the people whom you have relationship with. That's why you can become a true blessing to all of humanity, all of your loved ones, all of your colleagues, neighbors, in-laws, society as a whole, then of course Mother Earth, our overall planet. Because your consciousness becomes so beautiful, it continuously adds on to the wholesome consciousness within this planet. This is how the planet Mother Earth heals, recovers. If all human beings can have this Buddha Dharma, can have this what they call virtue and goodness, absence of evil, which is good, then this planet is very blessed. We will have the golden age with a very beautiful life that we can expect. Then there will be less and less of these negative people, evil people. Then the overall consciousness, because the summation of all the beings' consciousness on this planet become the planet's consciousness. If the goodness and the wholesomeness become more powerful, then it will gyrate towards the perfect world. Then like how evil affects and influence people, goodness and wholesomeness also can affect and influence people. That's why your society has a very good motto. Towards a caring and loving Dhamma center. That is very important. To have that means to have the Buddha Dharma. So that you can have this heart of love, care, compassion and joy, born of wisdom. Otherwise, you cannot achieve this, what they call, motto of your society. And this is a very relevant talk, because I have this feeling that the Buddhist community need this understanding. That's why when Sister Lily called me, I think about 2 days back or what, I told her, you let me have a few minutes before I reply to you what to talk, because I cannot just say something. Then when I reflected and contemplate within, I think, less than 3 minutes, I replied to her. Then I realized this is a good topic because seldom talk about the benefit of cultivating the Buddha Dharma. We only think of meditation becoming enlightened. No, not just that. The byproduct of it is so beautiful. Your mind becomes so peaceful, so calm, have so much clarity, so much understanding, so much love, so much compassion, so much goodness in you. All your old way of selfish thinking, emotional negativity, your envy, your jealousy, your hatred, all disappear, wipe off. That's why it can transform you. The Buddha Dharma through the Noble Eightfold Path can transform the individual from a very negative, heedless, and very violent, evil person into somebody so virtuous, so noble, and so beautiful. Because the right understanding or the right view, path factor, will condition your right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you are so noble in everything you do. The way you conduct yourself, the way you arise your thought process, the way you communicate and talk to people, the way you act is so different. And your understanding actually differentiate you from all. So this is what you can really, really achieve or benefit from if you determine to cultivate this Buddha Dharma. Okay, any questions? Anybody got any question? You're all very shy, I realize. You don't have to worry about your question. Simple question also will help a lot because I only need condition to speak, not so much of what you ask. Maybe our speaker can ask, final call. Anybody got any question? Otherwise, we can end.
If no call, I think I will ask Brother Teo to lead us in the sharing of merits.
Okay. So, the closing puja is something that we should do. The Buddha actually advises us. We should do this transfer of merits because after this session, there is a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of meritorious action that has already actually come to pass. You may not know. When you compose your mind to listen, when you keep your precept through your puja, when you pay respect to the Buddha, when you develop your mindfulness, your samadhi, all this is very wholesome. When you listen to the Dhamma, straighten your view, then now we share merit, transfer merits. All these are the meritorious action. Then you have a lot of what they call generosity too. You radiate metta, loving kindness, just now when you are doing the puja. So all these are very meritorious. Then some of you has helped out in the form of service to your community, your society. So these are all very meritorious. So we will share these merits with all the devas, the departed ones. Then after that, you can also invoke your aspiration. The aspiration is very useful too. So I will chant the Pali version. Those who can understand, you follow. If you cannot, you just rejoice. You calm your mind down, you silence your mind, and you rejoice. And the last part is aspiration. You make this aspiration of like, I will explain in English first. By the power of all these merits or wholesomeness that we have all cultivated, may it arise the causes and conditions for us all to avoid the foolish, meet up with the wise and enlightened one, so that enlightenment or nibbana can be realized as soon as possible. Okay, now we will do the sharing of merits. I will chant in Pali. Compose your mind, then we will start. Akasata ca bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa jirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata caam ehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati dang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha, huh?